The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift your hands, Father, we thank you. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We come with simple hearts this evening and we receive clarity and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, you might be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Are you expectant this evening? So it's still faith boosters, right? Yeah, but I will narrow down on faith for finances. Faith for finances. You know, like I've been saying since we started this series, the teaching about faith is one that you really have to understand. You will only ignore the teaching on faith at your own expense. Okay? To your own detriment. So you must master faith. And master how faith works. Are you still here? You must master how faith works. I've taught you many times, life should be lived by faith. Let me say that again. Life should be lived by faith. Life should be lived by faith. Okay, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. So if you're a just man, you should live your life by faith. You should do ministry by faith. If I have the time in this series, I will still discuss ministry by faith. Because you should be able to run your life totally by faith. Run your finances by faith. Now, if you do not live your life by faith, let me tell you what's going to happen. You might not actually fail as per what people call failure. But you are going to have a very ordinary life. You're going to have a very common life. If you don't run your studies by faith, you're just going to have the result of hard work. And should any challenge hit anyone, it will hit you too. But when you run your life by faith, yes, you are going to work hard. But beyond the result of hard work, you're going to have a supernatural touch to what you are doing. I feel like I'm talking about. And so you must master how faith works and decide to live the life of faith. Decide to live the life of faith. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Did you come with your voice this service? I said glory to God. And the voice of faith, like I've told you, defies the natural order. It will defy the natural order. Jesus walked on water. That was a faith move. The natural thing would have been that he would go through the usual process of maybe entering boats or ship or what have you. But then he walked on water. He defied that order. And then he walked on water. And all of that. And I've said a lot about faith already. And I don't think I can do a recap on that today. If I start a recap on that, we need at least 45 minutes to do a proper recap. And I don't think you have that time. Amen. You don't want to go home. Do you want to stay longer? At your father's house, right? Glory to God. So faith for finances. Let's go straight into it. You see, like I already established, life should be lived by faith. Okay, so if you don't understand how to run your finances by faith, you're going to be a very ordinary person. Listen to me. Even if you're students in this place, better pay attention to what I'm saying. Even if at this point you are collecting money from your parents, pay attention to what I'm saying. Because I've taught you the challenge many people have when it has to do with faith and a lot of things is they don't learn when they should. They don't learn when they should. So when a problem arises, they are trying to solve a problem where they've not even learned how to solve it in the first place. Some people, on Sunday, God being a helper, I'm going to touch faith for healing. Are you here? Some people don't know how to receive their healing by faith. And they will never learn it until one day they say, You've been diagnosed of cancer, incurable. The person begins to fight. You learn these things when there is no problem. Even if you're still a student, this is the best time to learn faith for your finances. Are you getting what I'm talking about? When I teach you ministry by faith, before God ever says I'm calling you to ministry, there's the best time to learn it. Because if you get in, you might learn it when you're already in, but then you will have wasted a lot of time. You waste a lot of time. Learn how finances work. Now, money is just there. You can make money, whether you are a believer or not. Okay? Whether you are a child of God or not, you can be rich if you work hard. Is that true? If you work hard, you can be rich. But what I'm talking about is not just following the natural order. I'm talking about having a supernatural touch to your finances. And that's what God is going to do for you. I thought I would hear a better amen. So, now I want to challenge you to start with to begin to believe God for your prosperity, financial prosperity. To begin to believe God for financial prosperity. And I'm going to give you about 5 reasons why you should believe God to prosper you financially. Number one is because God prospers you financially. It's in the character of God. It's in the nature of God to prosper people financially. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Moses told them, you shall remember the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. He said, remember the Lord your God. Go to King James. Hallelujah. So you shall remember the Lord, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is with to thy father. So it's in the character of God to give people wealth. He said, he gives you power to make wealth. So it's in the character of God to help people prosper. It's in the character of God to help people to ensure you live a prosperous life. 1 Samuel tells us chapter 2 and verse 8. Still talking about the character of God. How that God can lift it. He raised up the poor out of the dust. And lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. To set them among princes. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And he has set the world upon them. Hallelujah. So the Lord can raise people from nothing till they become something. It's in the character of God to help people prosper. And so why should I believe God to prosper me? Because God prospers people. That's what he does. And when I'm talking about prospering, I mean he prospers people financially. Are you following me, friends? In fact, if you study nature already, you can see that it is the character of God to prosper people. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5 verse 45 that God causes his rain to fall on the good and on the unjust, everybody. So in nature already, God already provided basically what can help everybody prosper, whether you are born again or not. For instance, whether you are born again or not, if you plant maize, you're going to harvest maize. God put that in nature. God will have everybody prosper, no matter your level. Whether you are, even the atheists can assess that. Now, if God will do that and make that available for everyone, how much more will he do for his children? So it's in the character of God to prosper people. Are you still here? The second is why I should believe God for my prosperity is because the Bible tells us that God owns silver and gold. In other words, God he owns silver, he owns the treasures and the resources of this world. Haggai tells us chapter 2 and verse 8, how that silver and gold belong to him. Read verse 8. He said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. The glory of the star shall be greater than the former and all that. But he said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. So in other words, talk of wealth, talk of riches, they belong to the Lord. Are you what I'm talking about? Now, they belong to him means he created them, and he can control them. God created the silver of this world. He created the gold of this world. So he can control them. So, the second reason why you should believe God is because God owns the riches of this world. He owns silver, he owns gold. Third reason why I should believe God for my prosperity is because God himself has promised to prosper you. God himself has promised you prosperity. And so, if you are not living a prosperous life, you are living below the promises of God. God himself promised that he's going to prosper you. I'm going to read the scripture for Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. God himself promised that he is going to prosper you. And it shall come to pass,
if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, so he said, if you hearken and obey his commandments, if you followed our last series, Readings of Grace, you will understand that in the New Testament, the commandment we are given to obey is to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember that? And he said, if you hearken to the commandments, he said, the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And that's a good place to say amen. He said, he will set thee on high above the nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What are the blessings? Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Now this was he's talking to them. Once they hearken, continue. Shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. He said, in everything you do, your body shall prosper, your finance, your business. He said, once you hearken. So that is a promise of prosperity for you in the Bible. So the believer that is living like a pauper is actually living below God's promises. Look at verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Hallelujah. Thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to arise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Hallelujah. The Lord shall command, and I always teach about commanded blessings. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. And in all that thou settest thy hand to do. This is one scripture you can use to pray for your business. Say, the Lord is commanding his blessing upon my storehouses and all I set my hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself. As he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Verse 10. We're still there. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. I say he will make you plenteous in goods. Come on. I say he will make thee plenteous in goods. Hallelujah. Say the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. In the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Look at verse 12. He said the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in the season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Hallelujah. Do you remember we declare this all the time? I lend to nations, and I borrow from none. Now, that's a promise of prosperity in the Bible. I'll stop at verse 13. Look at the next verse. He said, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. What a promise in the word of the Lord. And so you see, because God has promised you prosperity, it's enough to believe God to prosper you, knowing that when he says a thing, he means what he says and he says what he means. So God never promised you prosperity to excite you. No. He promised it because that's exactly what he wants to do. He said, shall make the head and not the tail. That's why I tell you, I believe that when a believer gets into a company, or is a student in a class, he shouldn't be the last in that class. That's what I believe. You should push for the top. Not just because you are being ambitious, but because the Bible actually said that your place is top. Your place is head and not tail. Hallelujah, somebody. That's your place. So when you get into your class and then you are the last, or come to the company, you are the lowest. After 2 years of working in the company, you are still very low. You're not living up to God's promises. And that's going to change from today. I said, that's going to change from today. If you still believe, let me hear a big amen. Somebody, I said, that's changing from today. He said, he shall make it the head and not the tail. God bless you. See that piece of step. The head and not the tail. So he has promised you prosperity. And that's what they're going to have. In Psalm 25 and verse 12. Psalm 25 and verse 12. He said, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in his way, in the way that he shall choose. Verse 13. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Oh, come on, go to verse 12. Put up New Living Translation.
It would make a lot more sense. So who are those who fear the Lord?
He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity. And their children will inherit the land. Are there people that fear the Lord in this place?
So there are promises. So when people say things like prosperity, the believers shouldn't talk about prosperity. I wonder the Bible that read. The Bible is full of promises, and you can't just explain. You can't just say, "Well, this is talking about Old Testament." You can't do that, sir. And of course, I've taught you this whole Old Testament and New Testament. You don't say, "Oh, that's Old Testament." Is a sign of poor understanding of scriptures. There's actually no difference between Old and New Testament. It's just explanation. The New Testament did not come to counsel the Old. It came to explain the Old. I agree what I'm saying? Yes. Actually, the real Bible is the Old Testament. You know what I said? Yeah, actually. That shouldn't be confusing. The real Bible, the original document. Let me ask you, when Paul visits the Corinthian church, you know Paul, the Apostle Paul? And he says, let's open our Bible. Do you think he says, let's open 1 Corinthians? What does he open? Leviticus, Exodus, Isaiah. It's now from there that he will explain that in the light of Christ. So the New Testament writers did not write from their head. If you're in your PhD advanced class, this should have made more sense to you by now. Because I gave you guys an assignment. Did you do the assignment? That comparison. You will see that almost every single verse from the New Testament are either direct quotations from the Old Testament or inferences from the Old Testament. Almost everyone. So when people say, oh no, that's Old Testament, they don't understand the Bible. They don't. The Old Testament is the original document. That's what the Bible calls. In fact, the Old Testament is what the New Testament calls scriptures. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you see, every time you read the New Testament, you see the scriptures is referring to Old Testament. So if you understand the Bible, all this is Old Testament, that thing should end in your head. And if you're still confused, what should you get now? Get our teachings. Bible interpretation made easy. There's a recent one I did now. What's that teaching again? It's not rumors. Rumors was about the character of God. It's a teaching I did again about Bible study. Okay, I believe you should know that. If you don't know it, God bless you. Huh? Come again. No, shadows and realities is not Bible interpretation. Huh? Lessons in Bible study. Yeah, there's a lesson in Bible study I did last year. You know, there's another one, Sha. My point is, I have a lot of teachings on understanding the Bible. So all those arguments of this Old Testament, you have to stop it. The Old Testament is clear. The New Testament only explained the Old Testament. And what so the New Testament will now bring the lamb that they offered and say, oh, that lamb was actually pointing to Christ. That's what it did. So it did not discredit the Old Testament. It actually proved that the Old Testament is correct. Are you good what I'm talking about? And put it in proper light. So look at this. Old Testament said they will live in prosperity. And that's talking about me. He said, them that fear the Lord. He said, their children will inherit the land. And that will be my testimony. Job 36 and verse 11. He said, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Are there people that have obeyed and are serving the Lord this evening? He said, you will spend your days in prosperity and spend your years in pleasures. Now, when you see scriptures like this, I've said it before, it should both get you happy and angry at the same time. It should get you excited because that's God's promise. It should get you angry because you are not yet seeing these things in your life. So it should make you content and say, if this is what God wants from me, I'm not going to have anything less of this. He said, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Say, my name is Henry. I obey the Lord. I serve the Lord. I'll spend my days in prosperity, and my years in pleasures. Shout amen, somebody. I prosper. So you should believe God to prosper you. See, Psalm 35 and verse 27. Number four reason why you should trust God for your finances is seen in this verse. Say, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them continue, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You know, number four is why you trust God to prosper you, is because God actually delights in your prosperity. I mean, when a believer has more money in his account, God has pleasure in it. Put over another translation of that before you say, ah, pastor is reading his money to the Bible. Hallelujah. He said, but give great joy to those who come to my defense. Let them continually say, great is the Lord who delights in blessing his servant with peace. That word peace, they're talking about shalom, fullness, wholeness. Put up like Amplified Classic, another translation. He said, let those who favor my righteous cause and have pleasure in my uprightness shout for joy and be glad and say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant? Put up message translation. So for those who want the best for me, let them have the last word, a glad shout, and say over and over and over, God is great. Everything works together for good for his servants. Hallelujah. And that's talking about me, friends. So when God sees that I am more comfortable, I'm having pleasure, he finds pleasure, he delights in it. Okay, you know, because this is very powerful, because some people actually think, you know, some people say, that God doesn't want believers to have so much money like that, because you might become too rich and you become proud. And when you become proud, Satan will now enter your heart, you will now backslide. And I want to say to them, poverty can make you backslide more than wealth can. I'm telling you. Say amen. Poverty? I understand when people say such things, they're trying to stop you from being materialistic. And I've explained materialism for you. Materialism is not being rich. Materialism is placing money above every other thing in your life. Placing money above God. Placing money above family. Placing money above your ministry. Okay? That's why sometimes I say to people, if you are pursuing money, and your pursuit of money, you see, takes you away from church week in, week out, Sunday, Thursday, you are too busy for your good. You are too busy for your own good. I get what I'm talking about. It's good to have money, but money should not be that important to you. As a matter of fact, when you begin to pursue money with everything in you, it might keep running. Because you are pursuing it. Do you understand the point? So I'm not saying you should be materialistic. But then, to try to correct one truth, and then you get to another extreme, is actually very terrible. The truth of God's word is that God delights in my prosperity. Hallelujah. Another reason why you should trust God for your prosperity is because under the old covenant and even in the new covenant, there are people that prospered financially. We have examples of people who prospered financially. Talk of Abraham. The man became very wealthy. You know, I've given this example. Abraham was so wealthy. You know, some of you think, if you read the story for all these guys, maybe they were living in huts, and they were living in, no. Abraham, there was a day, I shared this story with you last week, there was a day they captured Lot. Four kings fought against five kings and conquered them and captured the entire five nations. And Lot happened to be in one of those nations. And when the news got to Abraham, Abraham gathered 318 men raised in his house. That story always gets me mad because, number one, they were not even soldiers. It was even faith that made him believe that those men could conquer those people. But you know what else I'm thinking about? There were 318 men raised in Abraham's house. So Abraham had rooms enough to house 318 servants in his house. That wasn't the poor man, sir. You know what I'm saying? Even if they were staying three per room. Even if there are 10 per room. If there are 10 people in a room, 300 people is 30 rooms. You get the point? And these are not servants that were children. Some of these servants had families. Had wives, had children in his house. So think about somewhere here, Abraham's house.
You came to a village, sir.
And that's the man you call your father. There are examples in the word of God to show us, to prove to us that we don't serve a God who wants you to remain broke. Yes, we shouldn't be materialistic, but we shouldn't shut our eyes from the fact that God has prospered people in the past. Now think about that. 318 men, their wives, everybody, in the house of one man. So, when Abraham, when you visit Abraham, before you get to, he said, which one is your house, sir? Such a blessed man. Such a blessed man. Hallelujah. He was so favored and prosperous that his prosperity began to rub off on Lot. Lot that was just attached to him. Lot had no blessing from nowhere. But just working with Abraham, he became wealthy. Moved down to Isaac. Isaac too lived a very prosperous life. Genesis 26 will tell us that even in famine, Isaac sowed in the land. And in that same year where there was a man, he reaped a hundredfold. The man was so wealthy that the people of the land gathered and told him to leave the country, that he's too powerful for them. That's man Isaac. Now you go down to Jacob. Jacob was interested because when he was leaving his house, he had nothing. He went to Laban's house. Oh, I love the blessing. He went to Laban's house and they just said, if you want to marry this girl, serve me. He served him. They cheated him. He served again. At the time, Laban said, you know what? Let's have strike a deal. All the animals that are white, I will have them. All the animals that are spotted, you will have them. And Jacob said, okay. And by the wisdom of God, he did some of those animals. All the animals began to produce spots. Laban said, no, let's change it again. All the animals began to produce white. You know, there are people you can't fight. People who carry the blessing. That thing will find their mouth wherever you put them. That's why it's not a question of your location. Even if you're in a place where people hate you, you are destined to prosper. There are many examples in the Bible like that. Talk of David, talk of Solomon. Solomon. The Bible says Solomon made gold as common as stones in Israel. Read your Bible. As common as stones. You go to the Testament, you see all these guys who enjoyed stupendous wealth. When Israel was leaving Egypt, they had to go to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians parted with their gold, gave them their gold to carry as they journeyed. So even in the wilderness, they were not broke. Like they went with gold. It was some of those gold that they gathered to make the golden calf. I know what I'm talking about. These guys were not broke. So there was never been any time. Even when they were now, when they now disobeyed the Lord and they sent them to captivity, even in those places they were prospering. Daniel will go there, Shadrach and Abednego, and rise in Egypt, or in Babylon rather, to become the leader of all the presidents. Prosperity. Joseph will go to Potiphar's house and prosper. Get into the prison, prosper. Enter the palace, prosper. By the time they arrived Egypt, they got the best part of the land, Goshen. I feel what I'm talking about. Now, I can show you this again and again in the Old Testament, but you know, again, I can also show you this in what you call the New Testament. 1 Timothy tells us 6 and verse 17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trusting on certain riches. But in the living God, who give us rich in all things to enjoy. So before we begin to look at the rema or the depth or whatever in this verse, the important is that there were people that were rich in Timothy's church. Do you get what I'm talking about? Charge them that are rich. So he was talking to Timothy about how to lead his church. And he said, charge them that are rich in this world. You have to add in this world. Because if you don't add in this world, you say maybe he's talking about spiritual riches. People that are rich, like with physical money. See, he began to teach them, look at how to conduct yourself. Don't trust in the money. If you go to verse 18, he began to tell him that he should distribute, he should be kind, he should give more.
So the teaching is not actually whether it is good to have money or not. The teaching is about how to use money.
Are you what I'm talking about? So you can trust God for your finances, because there are many people in the New Testament and Old Testament who have prospered. We can look at the story of the man Philemon. I've told you this many times. Philemon was a very rich man. Of course, he had a servant called Onesimus and all that. We can look at Romans 16 and verse 23. Open Romans 16. It says, Gaius, my own host. My host and of the whole church saluted to you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluted to you. You know who Erastus is? The chamberlain of the city. Put up another translation. I've thought from this before. It says, Gaius says hello to you. He is my host and also starts as host of the whole church. So let's start from Gaius. Wealthy guy. He was hosting Paul. He was hosting everybody. The guy wasn't broke. But then it talks about Erastus too. The city treasurer. So Paul had people in the church of the Romans. Someone who was the treasurer of the entire city. Calling the CBM governor. Was in that church. I feel what I'm saying. Amen. And maybe you think that this guy was just there, that they were not serious in church. They were very serious. So. But at least, because I think it's Acts 19 verse 22. Look for it. I don't know if I'm very correct. Acts 19 verse 22. You read him about Paul's relationship with some of these guys. Erastus, for instance. Acts 19 and verse 22. He said, he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him. Who were they? Timothy and Erastus. So Paul was sending even Erastus on missionary journeys. The city treasurer. And that tells you that, hello, being wealthy does not mean you cannot do ministry. The same assignment he sent Timothy on. He sent Erastus. Erastus did not say, you are sending CBN governor to go and win souls. Because these guys have learned that no matter how wealthy you are in your finances, none of those things are anything compared to the weight of what you carry on your inside. $10 billion is nothing compared to righteousness we have in Christ. That's what I'm saying. So, Jeff Allen of the city, he said, he sent them into Macedonia. And look at what he said. He said, he sent two that ministered unto him. What did he mean by that? These two guys, we are serving Paul. What are the kind of LT of this verse? So, he sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus. So, Erastus was an assistant to Paul. Erastus was an assistant, a servant to Paul. Yet, he was the city treasurer. There's a lot to say about this. Because some people just feel that because you touched a few thousands or a few millions, you know, all of us should start worshipping you. It's only a foolish person that would do that. I don't care about how much you've touched. I don't even see it. I celebrate what God is doing in your life and pray that you prosper. But then, that's not going to change anything. If you are cleaning church before, you should clean more. You should buy more mops and begin to clean them more. Are you what I'm saying? Yeah. Buy more mops. The bigger you get, the smaller you must become. Two assistants. Put up another translation of this. And having sent two of his assistants, put up a message. So he sent Timothy and Erastus, two of his helpers. So Erastus was helping Paul. That's what I don't see. So just there helping him, Paul will say, you go print flyer. Erastus will go. And when you say Erastus, if you had just read this in the Acts of the Apostles, you think Erastus was just one jobless guy. You will now go to the book of Romans and you see, that guy was actually the chamberlain of the city. That's the city treasurer that Paul was sending up and down to go and do things for him. When we teach prosperity right, money won't take people away from serving God. It's actually bring them closer to Him. That's what I'm saying. And so you must make up your mind that you're going to prosper. But much more, make up your mind that the richer you become, even the more committed you will become. The more humble you will become. That the richer you become, the more focused you will be. So the testimony will be that when you see that guy in church, you will not even know that he has all of those things. Be an Erastus. Amen. Are you still here? GNT said he sent Timothy and Erastus to his helpers. So Timothy was put in the same class with Erastus. Both of them. We are serving together. We don't know about Timothy being the chamberlain of the city. So Timothy possibly didn't have any secular job. Or wasn't as rich as Erastus. But Erastus was rich, yet was serving.
So money or no money shouldn't change anything. You can't be so rich that you can no longer sing in the choir. That money is no longer good for you. You should become poor. I'm telling you for free. You can't be so rich that you can no longer go for one-on-one evangelism. You know, I'm sharing with you guys, I saw a video some years ago, a video, where one guy, one wealthy guy, okay, let me call his name Dr. Cosmas Madoka, you know him? This guy that owns Koscharis, one of the wealthiest Igbo men alive. You know, he carried microphone and was preaching. He's a believer. He was preaching on the streets of Lagos with microphone. You know Koscharis Motos? One of the wealthiest Igbo men, I think he's in the first 5 Igbo men alive. I was preaching all over the place. And then, of course, they began to drag him. And somebody said, I think everyone said something like that. You know Baby Freeze? You don't know him? Okay, you know Daddy Freeze. He's the baby I'm talking about. So, the guy said, I think it was him also. That said that this guy, that all this carrying mic up and down to preach, that there are more ways he can actually win souls. You see his position as a rich man, that he can do empowerment. I said, wow. That's why he's a baby. Yeah. You know, that should be the testimony about you. That guy you are looking at there is a billionaire in dollars. Yet when he's sharing flyer to you, you won't even know. You insult him, you'll just smile and say, please come to our church. When you come, you welcome, you carry your bag, sit you down, serve you as an usher. It's not when you, after insulting him in church, you now walk into the interview hall on Monday. I just meet him sitting down there, Erastus, the city treasurer. Oh, hallelujah. God is bringing us into the best shape of our lives. Hallelujah. That's what he's going to do for you. So this is a big encouragement for some of us. Money is not going to take you away from God. The bigger you get, the better. I don't think money takes anybody away. If money takes someone away from God, the person has always been away. Money doesn't change people. Money reveals people. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't change anybody. If you have a bad heart, money will reveal it. If you have always been a proud person, when you become rich, it will reveal the pride you've always had. If you're a humble person and you become rich, you just be who you are. Just see, this is my friend, he became big and stopped talking to me. He has always been planning on how to stop talking to you a very long time. Just that he couldn't afford it. You know, there are people that have spoilt in their mind. Just that they cannot afford their sin. They can't afford the sin they want to commit. So when they now become rich, you now see them, they now begin to smoke some kind of things, fly with a woman to Dubai, fly. You say, he became rich as well. No. He has been flying in his mind all the while. Just that he couldn't afford that sin. So when the money now came, he said, okay, now I can afford my foolishness. I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't change anybody. But you're going to be rich. And you'll be committed to your work with God. Hallelujah. So number one, how many have I given you now? 5. I'll give you number 6. And that is why you should want to prosper. You should believe God for your prosperity. It's because prosperity is an implication of seeking and finding the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. And I have to start from 31. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? So it talks about eating, that's food. What shall we drink? That's drink. What shall we wear with that? Shall we be clothed? That's clothing. So he's talking about physical things. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So he's saying, don't seek them. Don't be consumed with seeking, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Don't be consumed with money. That's why I said, if you pursue money, it will keep running. He said, why should you not be consumed with them? Why? He tells you, because the Gentiles, that's what they're consumed about. That's what sinners are always thinking about. Life is all about the money. If we know, blame, waiting we gain. That's what sinners are thinking about. He said, don't be like them. Second thing he gave, he said, because your Heavenly Father already knows that you need these things. He now tells you what to do. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness.
In other words, focus on your walk with God. He said, all these other things shall be. Now, when he says all these other things, I've taught you how to study the Bible in context. When he says all these other things, what are the other things he's talking about? What to eat? What to wear? He said, all of them shall be added. So prosperity is an implication, it's an addendum to seeking and finding the kingdom. When you seek and find the kingdom, prosperity is going to be added unto you. Now, he says, sir, but I know people that have found the kingdom and are still broke. The same way I know people that have found the kingdom and are still sick. The fact that something has been added unto you doesn't mean you will have it automatically. You must know how to assess it. That's why we're doing this teaching. Are you get what I'm saying? God said, well, I know some of my name, a Christian. He has been a close Christian all the days of his life. But even till now, he's very, very poor. Well, I'm sorry. He's passing through what he's passing through. But then he just had to be taught. He said, all these things. He didn't say all, he said, all these things. All this has been discussing, what to eat, what to wear, what to drink, shall be added. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. I'm coming to this very shortly. And so, all this shall be added. So, prosperity is an implication of seeking and finding the kingdom. So, when you seek the kingdom and find the kingdom, what shall be added is prosperity. Now, because of that, I should trust God to prosper me. Let me give you one more reason before I proceed why you should believe God for prosperity. Because your prosperity will help the advancement of the kingdom. It will help the advance. If you prosper, and you know, I don't know whether I have time to explain what prosperity is here. Well, prosperity I'm talking about is not just having money. It is having money and using it well. You know, in the kingdom, you are not prosperous in the kingdom because you have $10 billion. In the kingdom, prosperity is not measured by possession. It is measured by generosity. Do you know that? Let me say that again. The richest man among us is not the one that has 100 million. The richest one among us is the one that gave 100 million. Your wealth in the kingdom is measured by what you give and what you have. I may not get to that today. So what I'm saying all of this to say that when you prosper God's way, it will be a big plus to the spread of the gospel. It will be a big plus. Can I say something to you? With the grace of God that he has put upon our lives, okay, with the right finances available, I know what to do to shut down Enugu Stadium in 2 months, in 1 month, actually, without any compromise. You know what I'm saying? Without any compromise. Is money. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Because all those, when you see crusade equipments and all that, those things are not 10 naira. Everybody you see that is doing ministry and at a very global level, there are people who God have put money into their hands who are financing all those moves. You see all the things Real Punky was doing in Africa. It's one of two guys. One of them was Kenneth Copeland. Real Monkey will come to Africa. He will not collect money from you. Just this, Christy. People are saying, oh, Real Monkey knows how to do ministry. It's not like African pastors. African pastors are raising money. Real Monkey does not raise money. He just does Christian and goes home. Actually, Real Monkey raises money very, very well. So that he raises it before he comes to the land. People are giving in billions of dollars to keep that move going. And look at the number of souls won. Look at the number of men affected by the gospel. Are you know what I'm saying? Everything you add money to will gather crowd. Are you know what I'm saying? You see, how many of you watch English Premier League, EPL? Do you? It might be EPL. In a kid EPL. How many of you watch Champions League? Okay, UEFA Champions League. Are you aware there is MPFL? NPFL, Nigeria Professional Football League. Have you watched it before? Have you? I have actually. Yes. One day, just go to the stadium here and go and watch it.
to encourage them. But I'm saying all of this to say, the reason why it looks like you don't watch it is not because they don't play well. They've not put in the right amount of resources inside. If they pump money, half of what is found in EP, you go and watch it. Everything you push money into will attract crowd. Everything. I get what I'm saying. As popular as, well, who is the secular artist I'm going to call now? Davido, Wizkid, as well as they are, if you plan a concert with just 20,000 naira, you can't even bring them. But even if you manage to get them, they will not have so much crowd. It's not about fame. Now, I heard Reverend Dr. Mokwa say one of those days. He said, because sometimes you guys think that how I put up all these crusades is that once I say, Oma is coming, people will gather. I said, it's not true. He began to give breakdown. He began to give details. He shared stories of sometimes where they will come to cities and they will use helicopter to distribute handbills. Sometimes to gather all those traditional rulers to those meetings, they send personal invitations to them, send personal convoys and escorts to go and pick all the traditional rulers in the states to attend. So they can hear the word of God and be saved. Are you what I'm talking about? So sometimes people think that the gospel is free, but you have to buy a Bible. Bible is not free. The means of conveying the gospel is not free. So when people complain, oh, they are raising money in church, please stop that complaint. That we will always be raising money in church. I get the point. And it didn't start today. The reason is because with more money in our hands, there are more men that will be reached by the gospel. And this is why you should radically believe God for your prosperity. You should radically trust God. I've told God. I don't even need to tell him. He knows. With more money in my hands, more men will hear the gospel. He says, how does God know? He knows because he has seen what I've done with the one I have now. I don't get the point. We've held meetings, printed handbills, done meetings, sort of with the last shutdown account, with the last money in the account. Run the meetings, take no offering and go home. The joy is that people are blessed. That's the joy. And so with more money in our hands, we'll reach more men with the gospel. More men. Are you still here? Are you still? He said Jesus was not, he didn't have money, but he was reaching more men. Let's not even open that up. Luke tells us chapter 8 and verse 2. He mentioned the names of certain women. Open it up. Luke 8 verse 2. Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward. So the wife of Herod's steward was part of Jesus' follower. And Susanna and many others, which ministered unto him. So there were women that they listed here whose jobs were to give money to Joseph's ministry. Put up an out of this verse. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's business manager. Say amen. So King Herod's business manager was in Joseph's ministry, sir. Susanna and many others who are contributing their own resources to support Jesus and disciples. So you don't think they were just moving up and down. There were people giving to push that ministry forward. Even Jesus had partners. Are you following me, friends? Put up another translation of this. Another translation. Amplified. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's household manager, Susanna, many others, ministered and provided for him and them out of their property and personal belongings. See, that's me. So with more money in the hands of saints, more men will hear the gospel. Amen. More men. I'm not talking about using money to do national transformation or to sponsor the poor. No. I mean, more men will hear the gospel. There are villages that have not heard the gospel. Thing about it is they don't understand English. So we need people, for instance, that will dedicate their time, translate by the Bible into their dialect, and preach it as well and share it to them so they can read. That Bible translation alone, I feel like I'm talking about Bible translation, Bible printing alone is running into billions of dollars. Bible to mass produce and share to people. There is work. Are you what I'm talking about? There is work. You get to the street, you see people who are into drug addiction and what have you. If we, with the right resources, you can set up programs, gospel, you see, inspired meetings and programs that can help them out of that mess. So don't ever remain in this church if you've decided to remain poor. You know what I said? This is not your church. You must want to prosper. And you must prosper. So believe God for your prosperity. Believe God for your finances. Believe God that He will make you 1,000 times more. Believe God that you will be the head and not be the tail. Believe God that He will prosper you and increase you in all your ways. Do you believe God? And let me tell you how you can go about that just very quickly. One of the things I will say to you today is that you should keep learning the truth. I will say a few things that will help you stay in faith over your finances. Keep learning the truth about your prosperity. Keep learning what the Bible said about your prosperity. I've taught you this about faith. Faith begins from the heart. It starts with knowledge. Remember that? When you know, everything I'm saying, I've just been hearing them. But when you study God's word on your finances and prosperity to a point that it takes a hold of your heart, it is impossible to doubt. That's where your faith has started. I've told you guys many times how God began to help me financially is what I'm sharing with you now. I took my time, went through, God told me plainly, go through everywhere in the Bible where a miracle of provision happened. Genesis to Revelation. Wrote them down, began to study them. I ate them for long. Until it got to a time I didn't have money in my hands, but I knew I was rich. I feel I'm talking about. I'm talking about staying on the word of God. So keep learning the truth about your prosperity and your finances. You better learn it now, or you will go broke. Kenneth Copeland was very, very poor. Very, very, very poor. Okay? And him and Gloria, I've told you the story, these guys were so broke. They were broke in an amazing way. They always tell us of how that, you know, he was so slim, he had only one trouser, they kept sewing the trouser, He was that broke. This is the Kenneth Copeland everybody's dragging now. Do you know one of the things that helped him prosper? You've heard this story many times. He wanted to be rich. He knew what it took was stay on God's word. Learn God's word. So he had one car he was driving then. A Volkswagen Beetle. Do you know it? Do you know Volkswagen Beetle? The only car that has the engine at the back and the boot in front. Do you know that car? And then the car was looking very rickety. So he just managed to drive it one day and got to Brother Hagin's ministry. Real life story. And entered. And when he saw it, one of Brother Hagin's proteges saw it and said, I will park this car here. I told him to move it, that this car doesn't represent what this ministry stands for. You should move it down. Real life story. Sometimes you should not get you angry. If you see, say, why are they insulting me now? Don't get angry. He said, okay, I'll pack it down. But this guy is actually what brought me here. He said, well, say, please, I want people to look at this car. Tell me what it is worth. Carry it and give me books. Can I take his books? I get the point. And the man looked at him and said, well, we can't receive this car, but we are going to give you books. And give him books, almost all the materials. As a young man, he said, thank you. And he told him something. He said, when this book works, I'll be back. And the book has worked. So when it works, I'll come back. You see, it is not, he said, what did he now do? He said, it's in it. I told him to eat the word. You want to prosper? Eat what God said. Everything is not fight. Because it's not the hardest workers that become the richest men. I get what I'm saying. So he began to eat it. And line upon line, step by step, the Kenneth Copeland we know now emerged. The Copeland was one of the first people that dashed Brother Hagin, a private jet. A plane. One of the first. From being that miserable looking preacher to being all that God wanted him to be today.
I've told you many stories. That crisis they had, I always forget that country. It's not Haiti. Where they were killing people also. Countries were sending planes to go and rescue people. Kenneth Copeland's ministry sent planes to go carry people from there. Get the point? Kenneth Copeland has gifted Jerry Savile a plane. Jerry Savile has gifted it. They used to exchange planes. And it started by someone saying, I want to know what is in God's word for me. Hear me, friends. The level of finances you're enjoying now is not where God wants you to be. Get into the word of God. There is so much. There is so much. I've told you, every time I read the Bible about finances, I just know that all this I was saying is not prosperity. I just told about Abraham. 318 families living in Abraham's personal house. So, 318 men, man, wife, children. So, you are building duplex, you are shouting, you are building estate. This guy, imagine what he had. It's not so that words began to happen to us. You know, every time you read the Bible and you say, oh, Solomon was a bad person, 1,000 wives, he was living with all of them. See what I said? How many wives? 700 wives, 300 concubines. Yet, he had room. He didn't say, go to your father's house. He had room for all of them. With their children. God bless Solomon. But indeed, if we study the word of God on prosperity, we will see that there is more that God has for us. And I've already showed you, God doesn't get threatened when you get richer. He said he delights in the prosperity of his servants. So you better, all this one you are touching money, you better come begin to study. Even till now, there are books I'm reading currently on what God wants me to do. I recommended a book for you last year. One word from God can change your life. Go get that book. Go and look for it. Eat it. It will change your life. Eat it. Eat everything. Because, you see here, the things of God works. You can't ignore his principles. Because you can just, sometimes you just say, Pastor, she's just talking. 5 years' time, we're going to see results. Truth. Stay on the word, sir. I follow him. There's a lot that God wants for you. A lot. You can be a city treasurer and still be Paul's assistant. Do you know what I'm talking about now? You can be a city treasurer and still be Paul's assistant. You can be Gaius and still be Paul's son. You can be Philemon. All these guys in the Bible. Mark 4:24. Let me just show you something about studying God's word. Amplified Classic. Mark 4:24. Everybody please look at the Bible. Glory to God. Now, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. I've showed you this many times. Say, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So, all of us are hearing now. If you go back and give what you are hearing thought and study, it will determine the virtue that will come back to you. If you just hear it and say, oh, glory, 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 you come back and say, it's not working. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you, you hear. So, it's not enough to hear what I'm saying. Go and begin to learn. Stop complaining. Quit complaining about your finances. Get to God's word. I've told these guys this story many times. For the same day, me too, had the same story. He said every time he will carry himself to the medical office and complain. It's not working. Shop, we say the word. Eat it. So, study it. Take all of it. That's the answer. So, he one day, he went again. So they waited from morning, him and the wife, to see Bishop, and he didn't come out. He was so busy. So he was going to say, Pastor Sam, you are here. He said, yes. Say what I'm telling you. Nothing is working. He said, the word. Eat it. And so, he said he got angry. I was going home.
He told the wife, if this guy doesn't want to help us, he should just say he doesn't want to help us. Which one is the word? What? Eat. Which one? And the wife said, no, sometimes it's good to have sensible people around you. You know, when Elisha told Naaman to go and dip himself in the water, he got angry. And that servant girl said, if this guy had asked you to bring money, she would have brought the money. Now he just said, the guy enter water. So the wife said, well, why not try what he's saying? And he said, he packed all of Bishop's book available, shut down the door. For weeks, he didn't see anybody, just eating the book. Eat it. That's what they said. He said, so when he now came out, did he become a billionaire? Not yet. But you know, when something has gotten into your system, when the thing takes a hold of you, you know like you know. Oh, are you following me, friends? That you can never be small. That you can never be broke. It's by thought. Look at that again. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. So it's not enough to hear the truth. You give it thought. You give it study. So just like about divine healing. I'll talk about healing on Sunday. I'll see you read the scripture on Sunday too. Someone just said, God, the Bible says, you're meant to be in divine health. I wish above all things that I prosper and being healed. And after all that, he said, oh, I believe. And person goes home and cancer will kill him. Because the things he heard just got into his head. They've not taken hold of his heart. It's by thought. And so you've heard everything I've said about prosperity today. How that God can do this. God can make you rich. God can do all of that. Now, that you're just excited. The day it takes a hold of your system. You will not have one naira in your pocket, but you will know you're a billionaire. You will sound so foolish to some people. Are you know what I'm talking about? I can never be poor. Ooh, I can never be broke in my life. Remember that comment? I can never be broke in my life. That's annoying. See, don't be saying it loud like that so that destiny help us to not hear it and run away. I can never be broke in my life. You better don't be broke in your life. Glory to God. So keep learning the truth about your prosperity. Do you have the passion? I don't know if you have passion closely. If you don't have it, I'm going to read it from here. Mark 4, verse 24. The Passion Translation. Oh, glory to God. We're learning the word. Look at what it says. They said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. So the more you are understanding the things you are getting, you are hearing, much more will be added to you. So part of the says you hear. So number one, if you want to walk in faith for prosperity, you must keep learning the truth about your prosperity. Number two, learn to speak, remember, over your finances. Learn to speak over your finances. And what I mean speak over your finances, addressing all the channels of provision, all the channels of supply. Speak over your finances a lot. I've told you the Bible tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. On Sunday, I showed you how that God told them, the things I heard you say in my ear, that's what I'm going to do. And in that particular context, what they were saying were negative things. They said it is better would have died in the wilderness. It is better would have died in Egypt. God said, well, the thing you said in my ear, I will do that. And eventually, none of those guys entered the promised land because that's what they said. So God did not curse them. God did not kill them. God just let them have what they said they will have. Please follow me this evening. God just said, fine, you said you're going to do this. I'm going to let you have it. And so you want to prosper, then you must keep prosperity in your tongue. No matter what is happening to you, no matter what you see, keep speaking what you must say. Never say, my life is falling apart. Never say, I'm just so broke. Don't talk like that. I taught you on Sunday, whether in your prayers or in your daily conversations, never be negative. Because many people pray very well and confess very well, but then when it has to their conversation with people, comes to their conversation with people, you know, they just go against everything they've been saying in their prayers. In prayer, the guy is saying, oh, I'm blessed. I'm getting bigger. I'm the head and not the tail. The Lord is bringing me. This is the best of my life. And after that, just comes out. And they say, how much is this, Gary? Say, this, Gary. A cup is already there. I say, hey, Jesus. What are you saying? So, what happens to everything you've been saying?
Amen. Now, I taught you on Sunday. Whenever you catch yourself talking rubbish, make it an open statement. Put a comma. Continue. Say, ah, somebody will die in this land. They say, ah, but thank God it's not me that will die. I get what I'm saying. Because sometimes, have you ever caught yourself talking nonsense? And you say, ah, am I the one? What is doing me? You say, this state is in a terrible... People are suffering. Now, once you catch yourself, say, wow. Thank God it's not me. Fine, if you don't, or if you practice it to a point that it takes out of your system. Do not say with your mouth what you do not want in your life. Let me say it again. Don't say with your mouth what you don't want in your life. Because when you say things with your mouth, you are saying you want them. Your mouth is the gate. You are one of the most powerful prophets over your life. Because even whatever any prophet says over you, you must receive with your tongue. Think about that. Even if the great prophet says, Elijah says, you will be great and you keep quiet, it will not work. Because his prophecy is great, but you've not responded to the prophecy well. So, keep speaking over your life. And as you speak over your life, address every channel of supply. There are many channels of supply. For instance, industry is one channel of supply. What do I mean by industry? Work. That's why if you're trusting God to prosper you, for instance, you must be working. I feel people who want God to prosper them, who don't have anything they're doing for a living, are jokers. Because your work is one way that God will prosper you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse 10 tells us, say, for even when we are with you, we commanded you, that if any should not walk, neither should he eat. So God wants you to walk. It's not because he wants you to suffer, but because your work is one thing that God is going to bless. When we are reading that Deuteronomy 28, did you observe he kept saying that God will bless the works of your hands? Did you observe that? Yeah, because he wants you to have something doing. So prosperity I'm teaching is not for you to sit down and say, oh, you know what, God is going to just bring it my way. He won't do that. Even if he does that, he can do that. I'm still coming to that. But then, if you do not work, and you're just expecting favor from men, which is actually a channel of supply, don't shut it out. It's there. But if you do not work, and you're just expecting favor from men, you've shut down a particular channel of supply to you. That's where you've limited your finances. That same way, if you're working, and you don't speak words over favor from men, you've also shut down a channel of supply. But there are many things that you will need in this life that your work cannot give you. That is favor that can give you. So when I say you should confess the word of God, I mean everything. Address all the channels. Work is one. Okay? Favor from men is one. Are you getting the point? Favor is one from men. Philippians 4, verse 18. How that some men, the Philippian church, sent gifts to Paul. That's not because Paul did carpentry work for them. They just sent things to him. So you begin to speak. In confessing, you speak over your work. In the name of Jesus, my work is blessed. I prospered work. Don't form the habit of saying, this is my nonsense work. No. If you keep saying that, they will soon sack you. And that will not be God punishing you. That will be God relieving you of nonsense in your life. You hear what I said? Are you blessed? All this useless job. God doesn't want his child to have anything useless in his life. So he will just take the useless thing from you. That's why I'm going to tell some of you that are students. Don't form the habit of insulting school and insulting your school and your department. Say this department wants to kill us. Don't do that. Don't do that. And the point is, when people say those things, when you hear the things they're complaining about, you know they've not seen anything. You're enjoying and you're complaining. There was the problem. They are every time lecture from morning to night. That's your problem.
How about you don't attend lecture from morning till night, and then you write the most difficult exam that Cambridge cannot even pass? Which one is harder? So all this you're complaining about, stop complaining. Enjoy it. Even if God has told you your time in this with this job is over, so this nonsense job, bless the job. This job is favoring me. Get the point? I'm getting better. I'll be promoted. I'm getting bigger. All of that. God will bless the work of your hand. He did it for Joseph. It became so obvious to everybody in that place that it was Joseph that was bringing the prosperity here. And that should be your story. So speak God's word. Speak over the works of your hand. Speak over even favor from men. Because that is favor from men. And it's one major source of supply. Are you what I'm talking about? Favor is a major source of supply. The day you see it, we know. I mean, that God can go talk to people about your case. Whatever is the person I'm talking about. I mean, God goes to someone and says, go and do this for them. Sometimes I've not, no plan, nothing, I've not told them about any case. So just say, it's been on my mind for long. That's what I'm going to say to some of you. Every time God prompts your heart to give something to someone, a man of God, a believer, or anybody, respond. You don't know. Who has ever received a seed or a gift from someone and that gift meant more to you than the person ever knows? Maybe the person thought he just sent you 5K. That person sent you 1 week feeding. I feel what I'm saying. Because I just sent him 5K, but you just saw him, he started crying. Oh, Jesus Christ. And he just thought he sent 5K. That is favor from men. Jesus himself enjoyed. I already showed you there were some women that dedicated their life income to take care of Jesus and his disciples. That's a lot. That's favor. That's favor. Paul had the Philippian church reach out to him. That's favor from men. And I'm enjoying favor from men every day. And you should begin to enjoy it too. One of the liberties God told us we'll enjoy this year is favor. Remember that. Favor. The Bible says when a man's face pleases the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. He was so for the Israelites. So much so that even the Egyptians that were against them gave them gold and silver before they left. So God's favor can rest upon you. And even that your boss that does not like you will just be giving you things. And always end it with, I don't know why I'm giving you this thing. And you just smile. You are almost ready to tell the person, I know why you're giving it to me. But let's not talk about it. I believe in the favor of God. I was listening to Pastor, I don't know if it was Pastor Nkechiene. You know Pastor Nkechiene, Carpenter's Church, in Port Harcourt. And she was sharing the story. She was talking about the favor of God. She said, sometimes it's so evident, even in small things. Sometimes she goes to the shopping mall and buy things and she's leaving, she's carrying everything by herself. Someone will just see her and say, I just want to assist you. She said, sometimes you might think it's because she's popular. They'll say, oh, they know you're pastor. Sometimes they don't even know. So one of those occasions, this person started helping her carry everything. It was when they got to the car, she was about to take off. He said, wait. Are you not Pastor Nkechiene? He said, yes, that's me. He said, I love your ministry. He didn't know her from Adam, but just saw her, that magnetic force of favor. You know what I'm saying? I'll do a footage in this year on the favor of God. I'm working on it already in my notes. It's a whole lot that God can do for you. Even in small things. Sometimes when your all hope is lost, someone will just show up and carry your matter. Have you ever entered an office and they say you can never have access to this office? And one person says, what's even the problem? Don't worry, come back on Tuesday, I will sort this out. And the person is going from office to office looking for your file. Office to office and said, I found it for you. And she will now call you and say, won't you come and collect your file? And you're wondering, does she want money? No. It's the favor of God. That's why I said, when you confess over your finances, make sure you address every channel. Don't just be confessing over your work. If not, you're going to shut down an entire channel of God's supply, which is God's favor. But then, don't just be dependent on God's favor and not work. You also have to shut down an entire channel. So you should collect from everywhere. Speak God's word. Put the word of God on your lips every day, sir. Every day. My finance is blessed. I prosper. There's no lack around me. All those things we say when we want to give offering. Every time.
I claim extra coming in. You know, whenever my brothers are quite interesting, every time they'll be with me, because if you stay with me, I can just be talking with you, I can just be sitting down, and the next time you hear me saying things like, I claim extra, just like that. So they, when I say it, all they will shout, I claim extra coming in. You can't leave us behind. Anything you say, we'll say. I cannot be doing something to just say, I claim extra coming in. They say, sir, what did you say? I claim extra coming in too. It must be a pattern. Every time it crosses your mind, speak the word of God. My supply is bigger than my needs. Oh, say my supply is bigger than my needs. Say my supply is bigger than my needs. So I claim extra coming in. The Lord is bringing me into the best shape of my life. Thus far, He's bringing into my hands seeds, even some great, big, whooper chunk seeds. I receive them and I sow them where He shows and directs. And I'm going to see great harvest. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Say it all the time. Speak God's word. Something is changing. Hallelujah. Sit. I just want to round up. I have 10 minutes. I hope I use it well. So favor from men. Another thing that will help you stay in faith. I've said two things now. Keep learning. Keep speaking. Please, as a way of instruction, avoid worry. Avoid worry. After Jesus told them in Matthew 6, verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, that's the promise of prosperity, shall be added unto you. We now go to verse 34 and say, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't live in worry. Worry will shut you out of faith. Worry is an enemy of faith. Say, sir, but sometimes worry creeps in where you don't plan. It's actually true. But once you find that it has entered your heart, don't try to fight it by saying, I will not worry. Stand up and begin to speak God's word. At every time, every battle that goes on in your mind, God's word is the best response. Not God's word in your heart, God's word on your lips. So I'm just lying on my bed and find out that, oh, I've just been overtaken by thoughts of a lot of things. That's time to say, oh well, in the name of Jesus, supply is here. I'm not going to be stranded. God will help me. The Lord is in the midst of her, and He will help her right early. And I was telling you that yesterday, the Lord will help you right early. God doesn't come late with His help. Oh, come on, friends. He does not come late with His help. He got to the tomb of Lazarus after 4 days. He was still early. That's what I'm saying. And I want to speak to someone who thinks there is a deadline before him or her. You don't have deadlines, sir. It's lifelines you have. And every time you lie down on your bed thinking, it's like, the time is actually approaching. What if I'm not able to pay this? Stand up and begin to speak God's word. Don't speak what you feel. Speak what the word of God has said. Tell yourself you can never be stranded. Every time you respond to thoughts with words, you send those thoughts packing. Because no matter how much I teach against worry, thoughts of worry will come. Thoughts of fear will come. Now, look what the Bible said. Take no thought. I like how you just put it. So, a thought must come. The question is whether you will take it or not. So, when thoughts of worry drop, will you take it? How do you not take it? Speak. Take no thought. Thoughts of uncertainty will come. What if by that tomorrow now? You know, those days when we used to, you know, God is helping us. When you start ministry newly and you're planning programs, one of the greatest fears is, what if we finish planning program and nobody comes? Have you ever felt that way? What if that tomorrow you now enter the hall and you're the only person standing inside the hall? That's uncertainty. That's time to begin to say the name of Jesus. I know the word has come forth. I know angels are walking. And He's bringing more men into our meeting. Men that need our message that are coming in. That's what they begin to think and say, oh no. What if some of you are thinking of getting married? You know you are set. You've even prayed. But you are thinking, what if I get married and have children and I can't take care of them? What if I can't pay their school fees? What is all those what if? You will pay their school fees.
they will go to the best of schools. Because your sons and daughters are for signs and wonders. Your seed shall be great and mighty upon the earth. That's what the Bible said about you. I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. No, his seed beg bread. It's not your own children that will beg bread. Let us start to reply with God's word. Are you following me, friends? Reply with God's word. Since I know I want to marry, I know I'm set to marry. The only problem is, what if I never, if I marry, I'm just adding another extra responsibility to my life. So that's what he said to me. And that's a very genuine concern. If you're a man, it means there's an extra burden, an extra woman, and very soon extra children that will come around and they keep demanding. What if I'm not able to meet up? What if I come on? You're getting to the best shape of your life. And always reply to the devil, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous. While I'm the righteous, I've never seen myself forsaken. And I've never seen his seed beg for bread. You won't go door to door begging to feed your children. Reply. But in all, don't give room for worry. Jesus told them, how many of you by worrying can add one height? Listen, can add to your height. Worry will take from you, it will not add to you. It will take away your health. It will take away your peace of mind. It will take away your rest. It will give you hypertension. You notice more men suffer from stroke more than women. Because actually men worry more than they should. That's why men should begin to learn. And I want to say to you, don't let anybody put you under any kind of pressure that will make you not to miss your sleep. I want to say to all of you listening to me this evening, time is on your side. Don't forget to hear that. Time is on your side. What is not available tomorrow will be, today will be more than enough tomorrow. What I don't have enough today will be, I keep saying that. Let nobody pressure you. You don't have a car now, and so your father have a car at your age. All these fights, as you are believing God for provision, don't get to the other extreme of saying, oh, if I don't make money, if I've told you, worry is a sign that you are not a content person. Worry is even a sign of compromise. If you give in so much to worry, you will soon compromise. What is contentment and faith? You know, as you are trusting God for 10 million, you have 100 naira now, use it well. Give thanks. Rejoice. Celebrate. Speak the word of God. And just be there. Are you what I'm talking about? Don't start saying, only if I say 10 million, 10 million, it's only 100 naira. If I just drink Gary today, and what will I eat tomorrow? Come on. The day you bring that Gary, give thanks. Jesus brought 5 loaves. Every time you have what is not enough, give thanks. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No complaint. He gave thanks. They multiplied. Oh, come on. Are you following me, somebody? I want to buy land. All I have is 200,000. And the land is 3 million. Thank you, Father, for providing 200,000. Do you know some of your parents at your age never saw 200,000? What are you saying? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. At least you have 200,000. I get what I'm saying. Thank you for providing 200,000. I know more is on the way. Then after that, so what next? Follow every leading that comes to your heart from there. Do as the occasion demands. Jesus gave thanks. And he just told them, tell these guys to sit down. And he said, I've shown that in the Bible. He kept giving them. Do you remember that? He didn't just share to them a second and share to them. No, the Bible tells us, I showed you, he kept giving them. As they kept coming back to take, the thing kept multiplying. Just give thanks. Never be in worry. See it this way. That worry will never add anything to you. In fact, it will make you angry. Have you been worried so much that you began to attack everybody around you that don't do anything to you? Your brothers come around to say, how far? He said, how far is far? What is far? How near? They didn't do nothing. And I've seen children get beaten up by parents who were just worried. The children did nothing. Just that the head was full. You know, everything begins to annoy you. Has whatever dealt with you?
Say, why did this my wife hang this clothes here? She has been hanging the clothes there now for a very long time. But you're just overwhelmed. Where is this boy? He has not come back till now. It's 5:30. That boy has been staying out till 6:30. He said, after I finish with you today, he didn't do anything. But something has overtaken your consciousness. Take no thought. Because the thought will come. Will you take it? That's the question. I tell you what to do. Rejoice. Give thanks. Speak God's word. You don't know what else to do. Pray. Pray. Let's pray over this matter. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm trusting you. And once you pray, rest. Things will change. Have I told you, no problem will last forever. A day is coming and it is not long. When you refer to these days as history. Where you will say, I remember the days we didn't have money to eat. I remember when we were still trekking. I remember when we were still begging to eat. And those days are coming for you. When you will just recount and say, oh, those days my offering was 500 naira. Those days my offering was 300 naira. Those days, if they're giving 50k in church, I'm hiding my face. But now, glory to God, I'm tithing in millions. I'm tithing in tens of millions. Every day, those days are coming for you, friends. So give no room to worry. Take no thought for yourself. Say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Don't take any thought for yourself. Hallelujah. I can close this very quickly. Take no thought for yourself. And then, two more things. Give, okay? Give. Give. Giving is an expression of your faith. Never allow lack make you to stop giving. Giving is not for the rich. Giving is for the generous. And you're a generous man. You see, there are many scriptures I wanted to show you. But giving is an expression of faith. 1 Timothy tells us chapter 6 and verse 17. Oh, hallelujah. He says, charge them. I'm trying to show you how to be rich. Paul is showing us. Charge them that are rich in this world. What do you tell them? Number one, that they should not be high-minded. So don't be proud because you have money. Number two, he said, not trust in uncertain riches. So don't trust in your money because money, riches are uncertain. Number three, he said, trust in the living God who gives us rich all things to enjoy. The next verse, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. So one of the ways to show that they trust in the living God is that they are doing good, they are willing to distribute, they are willing to communicate to others. So a sign that you trust God with your finances is that it's easier for you to give. Most people are not in faith because they, you know, people say, does giving make you richer? Does God want your money before he blesses you? No, he doesn't. But giving in itself is a sign and a proof that your heart is in faith, that you are trusting God to provide for you and supply your needs. So every time you are in need and there's a leading to give, please respond to it. Whether you need or not. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. We read the story of Elijah. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. This is a very interesting story about giving, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman sustain you. So there is a widow, the Lord said, I've told that widow. So, listen, God commanded a widow to sustain Elijah. A broke widow. So, can God command a poor person to give? That's what I'm showing you now. So, I've commanded a widow woman. People say, let me have her if God asks me to give. No, give, no. He said, there's a widow woman there. I've commanded her. She's a widow. She's broke. But I've told her to feed you. Next verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the older woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he said unto her, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Because I thought when he missed the older woman would be basking, driving Range Rover, driving GLK, and saying, no, are you Elijah that I have to feed? Hop in, let me feed you. Look at that. And as she was going to fetch it, he said unto her, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread. Say, bring me bread. That woman answered. He said, as the Lord God liveth, I swear to God, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So they were eating their last meal, yet
The God commanded them to feed Elijah. So you can be broke and God says, I want you to build a house for me. My God. Are you following me, friends? This man was to feed Elijah for 3 years. Because Elijah commanded there will be no rain in the land. And it lasted for 3.5 years. And God said, you are going to feed a woman that had her last meal. That's why I want to announce to you, every time God is asking you to give, He doesn't want to take from you. He wants to add to you. So, the woman complained. Look what Elijah said. Elijah said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me there first. He said, bring my cake first. In other words, he was saying to her, obey the instruction first before you start complaining. And bring it unto me. And after that, now make for you and your son. Look at the miracle. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day. In other words, this thing you have will never finish until rain comes. But give. So every time God says, give me what you have, He doesn't want to take it away from you. He wants to multiply it in your hands. Jesus told that small boy that had 5 loaves of bread and said, give me. The boy gave the 5 loaves of bread to Jesus. Jesus multiplied the bread. Now, if the disciples packed 12 baskets, think of how much that boy packed while going home. Jesus never collects from you. He adds to you. He met Peter and demanded for Peter's boat and used Peter's boat to preach. After using it to preach, he told Peter, have you caught anything since night? Peter said no. And he gave Peter a net-breaking harvest of fish. Every time he demands from you, he's not demanding of you to reduce you. He's demanding from you to increase you. So, woman, bring me cake first. So, every time there's an instruction to give, you obey. God never collects from you to reduce you. He collects from you to increase you. I've learned this many times. Although first things may not look like it, but when you keep learning how to give and walk in faith, God doesn't take from you. Let me say something to you. You see, every type of giving, there is blessing for every type of giving. Once it's done from the right heart. I don't have time to discuss the heart today. But every kind of giving has its blessing. And that's why you must be very smart in your giving. There are different kinds of giving in God's word. All givings are not the same. For instance, there is charity. Proverbs tells us, chapter 19, verse 17, that he that giveth, look at that, he that had pity upon the poor and lended unto the Lord, okay, and that which he had given, okay, he said, he that had pity upon the poor, lended unto the Lord. So when you have pity upon the poor, proper NLT, he said it's like you're lending money to God. He said if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord and he will repay you. So every time you look at a cent that is broke in church and you give to him, God counts it like you lent him money. And God will not owe you. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? Every time. That's the blessing for every kind of giving. So I've just shown you that is the blessing of charity. Can I also show you that is also the blessed, there's another kind of reward we call the prophet's reward. You know, let me explain money to you. Money is just paper, but it bears different names. When you give it to a school principal, it's called school fees. When you give it to someone that came to borrow, it's called loan. I got what I'm talking about. It's the same money, but the best friend name. That's how giving is. Now, this is Pastor Casey. I can look at Pastor Casey now. Because so that when you are giving, you should be intelligent enough. And I say, this is now my guy now. I say, your wife born. I beg you, I send you 2K. Now, that's charity. I give him as my friend. And God is going to bless me for that. But that's the blessing of giving to a friend. I follow what I'm saying. It's the same money, sometimes the same amount. But if I meet the persecution and say, this man carries a special kind of grace. Even though he's my friend, he's a man of God. So, sir, I'm sending this seed. That's why it's not every money you give that you can call seed.
It might be the same amount, but it is why you are giving it. I feel I'm saying, go to Matthew 10 verse 41 or so. Matthew 10 verse 41. This is why there was a day I came to church. I told you people to stop saying you are giving to pastor's welfare. If you give to pastor's welfare, you are giving because I want to help pastor to eat. You are giving, you receive the, it's just charity, blessing of charity. It's just, it's okay. But I saw the Bible said, he that received a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive prophet's reward. The key thing in this verse is in the name of a prophet. So you gave him 10 naira, not because he's looking fine, not because he's your guy, not because he's a good person, just because there is a call of God upon his life. That one has his own reward. Are you guys what I'm talking about? He said, put up the kind of this verse. NLT. If you receive a prophet as someone speaks for God, you'll be given the same reward. The same reward as the prophet. Amplified, the name translation. He who receives and welcomes and accepts the prophet because the prophet shall be a prophet's reward. He receives and welcomes the righteous man because the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What does it mean by receive and welcome? See the next verse. Verse 42. 42. He said, and whosoever shall give to one of these little ones a cup of cold water because he's my disciple. So he said, I'm going to give Pastor Henry. He said, why? He said, he's my pastor. That's a reward for that. I'm going to give the saints in church. Why? Are there not other beggars in the street? This one is a saint in Christ Jesus. There's a blessing for that. I get what I'm talking about. On Sunday, we're going to be taking an offering, for instance, for charity, for welfare. Love offering. That one doesn't go to pastor, go to the church. It goes to people that have needs in this church. Take advantage of that particular giving. There's a reward that comes with it. It's like giving money to the poor. He said you are lending to God. That's how God sees it. And God, if you lend to God, he won't owe you. So when people ask questions like, what kind of giving should I focus on in church? Every opportunity to give, take it. And never think that God is trying to collect from you. The owner of the whole universe is not wicked. He can't collect the little you have to reduce you. Whereas he says, silver and gold, they are mine. Please follow me this evening. He can't. He can't be demanding the small 10,000 that you have just to show you pepper. Whereas he has everything. What is it with your money in the first place? That's what I want to say to pastors, ministers, everybody listening to me this evening. Make sure you don't ever ask the people to give out of a personal need. Don't do that. Because you are not only becoming a thief, okay? You are also robbing people of their blessing. It's always the best when God initiates. I told you guys, for instance, I've been talking about this for long, that the Lord has told me that we're going to install our ACC very soon. Did I tell you that? Why have I not called for the giving? God has not told me to. Already, last week, he already told me the exact thing to give when that time comes. But he has not told me to call for the giving yet. And I'm not going to do that until he says I should do it. Because it's not just about, I think we can raise this money now. That's not the important thing. When people give that kind of spirit-inspired giving, they don't come back without their testimonies. Even yesterday, even till yesterday, I received a testimony from one of our dear ones here who already got a job. The pay is in dollars, and it's not hundreds of dollars. Thousands, sir. So all this giving, God never takes from you to reduce you. Because by the time you begin to give like that, you know what they are saying to the Lord? He gave you 100 naira, you are giving 70 naira. They are telling him, any day you give me 100,000, 70k is yours. Without saying it, that's what they're saying already. Because people think you're fool, you're telling God, you know, Father, I just became a millionaire. Oh boy, you go give, die. You're a thousandaire now. So you give. Are you getting blessed? Finally, faith for finances for today. Finally, please receive the Father's blessing. One of the biggest things that help that will help you succeed financially is the blessing of a spiritual father. Now, this is not, I'm not saying this to my pastor. It is principle found in God's word.
Once there is the blessing of a prophet, not just any prophet, your prophet, your father. I showed you an example with Jacob. Remember Jacob? Jacob said, is that Genesis 35? Look for it. I think it was 27. He told Esau, I passed over Jordan with just my walking stick. Now, you might just think, he said, but now I've returned two camps. So what does he mean by that? Let me tell you what he means by that. Actually, the day Jacob ran away from house, he didn't leave with an extra cloth. He didn't leave with an extra shoe. The mother just said, come, Esau wants to kill you. Run. And he just had his walking stick for walking. And he trekked, wretched, broke, no bank account, no finances, nothing. He was just trekking like that. All the way to Laban's house. Entered there. No wife, no children, no money, nothing. No savings, nowhere. And he told him, he said, now I am back. Put up like an altar of this verse. Genesis 32 verse 10. He said, I'm not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you've shown to your servants. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I own nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. How can someone leave home with nothing but a walking stick and come back wealthy? He just had one thing. That blessing Isaac placed on him before he left. That's why the Lord said to me in 2019, I can't forget, he said, every opportunity, he rebuked me that year. Because, you know, I'm not the person I always like saying, if I bless you normally, I'll bless you, you will do more, you preach more of the gospel. The Lord said, you're not blessing these people's finances. He said, if you're not doing that, you are robbing them. They will not prosper. Plainly. That's why, you know, every opportunity I get to pray over you, I pray over you. Because I know there are places I can stand in your life that not many people can stand. And so, get the blessing. Are you still here? Get the blessing. Get the blessing. Genesis 49 verse 22. We'll just close with that now. Look at the blessing that Jacob prayed. Put up like NLT because of our time. When he was blessing his children, he got to Joseph. He said, Joseph is the foal of a wild donkey. The foal of a wild donkey at a spring. One of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Archers attacked him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained taut. And his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. By the shepherd rock of Israel. So Joseph went through all of that in Egypt. His brothers fought him. But everything happened to him. But the guy remained strong. Now continue verse 25. May the God of your father help you. Go to King James. I want to show you something. Oh. Go to verse 24. Look at this. He said, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee? And by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above? Blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and blessings of the womb. Verse 43, pay attention. The blessings of thy father. What a prayer he prayed for Joseph. He said, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound. Go back to NLT of the everlasting hills. Read with me. May the blessings of your father surpass the blessings of the ancient mountains. Go to Amplify Classic. The blessings of your father on you are greater than the blessings of my forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, on me. So he's saying, what is working on your life, Joseph, is bigger than what Abraham and Isaac put on me. That's what the guy carried into Egypt. You push him down, he can't stay down. You throw him into the prison, the blessing will carry him out. He said, the blessings of your father on you are greater than the blessings of my forefathers, Abraham and Isaac on me, and as lasting as the bounties of the eternal hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was consecrated one, and one separated from his brethren, and the one who is prince among them. See, there is a blessing upon Joseph. it is stronger than everything Abraham and Isaac put upon me. So Jacob blessed Joseph with very strong words. And Joseph knew. That was why when Jacob was about to die, he went and brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and said, "Sir, that thing you put on me, do it to them. The blessing. Do it to them. That same blessing. Put that same thing." So this guy shall not play. So I want to say to you, you want to really prosper, hard work and everything should be there. But be a faith man. Know the word. Speak the word. Don't give room to worry. Give as the Lord leads you and as He prospers you. Stay conscious of the blessing. Receive the blessing. Value the blessing. Treasure the blessing. Contend for your prosperity. Refuse to remain small. Stay in faith. Speak the word. Decide that every promise I showed you today, and every promise you will discover in God's word about your prosperity, that you will live the fullness of all of them. Decide that your time is going to come, and that time is here, where you will live in bounty and not in lack. Believe that your day is coming, and that day is here, when you move from the days of scanty to the days of losing count. Believe that those days are coming, and those days are here. Believe that the days are here where you will no longer be looking for what to eat. You'll be looking for who to feed. Believe that the days are here where you won't be looking for offering. You'll begin to give in your millions. Believe that the days are coming. Better days. The best days of your life. Believe that God is changing your life. Believe that better days are coming. Don't give room to doubt, to fear, to worry. God is fixing up everything. I heard the Lord say to me right now, that though thy beginning may be small, thy latter end shall greatly increase. Though thy beginning may be small. And can I say to someone who is having tough times, Job lost everything he had, but actually his latter end greatly increased. God will restore you. You remember the days when you had money. You used to remember, oh, those days I get money that year. You've seen nothing yet. He's bringing you to the best days of your life thus far. So stay in faith. As your father, I will keep blessing. Every time. Because the Lord has commanded me to bless you. You keep receiving. You keep working it out. Know the greatest job, the greatest joy, one of the greatest joy of pastoring is the fact that you get to grow with people. You get to watch them when they couldn't afford transport to church, to when they can now pay their transport, to when they can now book cabs, to when they can now, you know, buy their own cars. You get to watch them to when they can now, you know, even come to church with escorts and convoys. The greatest joy of pastoring is watching people grow from left to another. You watch them from when they could not speak in tongues, to when they can now speak in tongues, to when they couldn't say Jesus loves you, to when they can now preach, to when they can now stand and minister in crusades. You know, that joy. You watch them from when they were in jail one. You know, that's the joy of pastoring. And you know what? I'm patient. I know that God is taking us somewhere. One day, your testimony will be big. One day, you look back to these days and you will tell your children, the word of God has never failed me. One day, you will not only testify about what you read in the Bible, you will testify about the workings of those things in your own life. So we are watching you grow. I'm watching you grow. You will grow. You will make progress. You will never be small. You will break new grounds. You will scale new heights. The lid has not been removed for you. You can now fly above this lid now. You are gaining new heights every day. In the name of Jesus. New doors are opening. Better doors are opening. I told you yesterday, and the word is coming to me again. Between yesterday, now, between now and the next 48 hours. Yesterday I told you 72 hours. 48 hours, miracles of encouragement. favor from man, favor from God will be your testimony very soon. Jobs will begin to flow, hallelujah. Contracts will begin to be signed, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, your supply is bigger than your needs. The days of lack has gone. The days of scarcity has ended. The devil has not won in your life. He will not win in your life. That is more than enough now. That is more than enough now. Money stays in your hands. Money multiplies in your hands. I heard it again. Money stays in your hands. Money multiplies in your hands. May the wisdom and the power to make it happen come upon you in the name of Jesus. There is power to make wealth. Deuteronomy tells us, chapter 8, verse 18. Say, you shall remember the Lord your God, for he is the one that giveth you power to make wealth. Now, he has put that blessing upon me, and I put it upon you now. You are empowered to make wealth. You are empowered to increase your finances now. In the name of Jesus. Some of you already testifying that this year started better than last year. Come on. This is even going better and better and better. It's going better and better and better. It's going better and better and better. Stretch forth your hand this way. May everything small in your hands increase now. May everything small in your hands increase now. In the name of Jesus. If you believe that God has put a calling upon my life, may the angels of that calling work for you now. I'm bringing the supply to your life in the name of Jesus. May the days of lack and scarcity come to an end now in the name of Jesus. May your testimony begin to abound now in the name of Jesus. And you devil, I command you, take your hands off their finances. Take your hands off their spendings. Take your hands off their income. I release angels, Brateko Barata, Tuvele, Zaria, Breda, Lia, Merebeton, Prishaka, Dila Brakaya, Mina Levasino, Bradika. Ministry spirits have gone forth and are causing the resources to come your way. In the name of Jesus. Don't lend your voice to defeat, because you can never be defeated. Don't lend your voice to failure, because you will not fail. Don't speak doubt. Don't speak fear. Don't speak worry. I know everything might not be so okay now, but you know, your prayers are not wasted. Something is actually working out in the spirit. And it shall not be long. I said it shall not be long again. I said it shall not be long again. You will carry your testimony in your hands. In the name of Jesus. Just like one day Sarah carried Isaac in his hand. Is in her hands rather. One day you will carry your testimony in your hands. One day. That business has been struggling. One day you come into that office and look around and see tens of staff, and you remember the days it was only in that office. I'm telling you for real. One day, that account that you open and you smile and it smiles back at you, one day you open it, you can only but shed tears, but there will be tears of joy, because you don't know that these things will ever happen. The Lord is changing your life, and as a father over you, I bless you. I bless you with that distinguishing blessing of a father. That blessing of a father that makes the difference. May it rest upon you now. May it stand you out in your workplace. May it stand you out in the marketplace. May it stand you out in your finances. May it bring favor upon you in the name of Jesus. Things are getting better now. Put your hands upon your head. I pray wisdom upon you. You will not waste your better days. You will not waste your better days. Wisdom to manage. Wisdom to multiply. Wisdom to make. Remember, wisdom to make the money. Wisdom to manage it. Wisdom to multiply it. Is working upon your life now. In Jesus' name we pray. Your better days are here now. I say your better days are here now. I say your better days are here now. In the name of Jesus. Somebody said the blessing is working upon my life. Come on. If somebody talks, say the blessing is working upon my life. The blessing is working upon my life. Next time you get into any space, expect that things will be different. The blessing is now working. Even if you are like Jacob, you are passing through the Jordan now and all you have is your walking stick.
Once you have the blessing, there's no problem. It will take you and bring you back. Two large camps. Come on, church. Two large camps. You know, I feel like saying to you, God bless your children. Your children are blessed just because you gave birth to them. My God. Because the seed of the righteous shall be blessed. The Bible said God keeps covenants to 1,000 generations. No, we always read about how that iniquity is coming upon the third and fourth generation. He said unto the righteous, he keeps covenant to them unto 1,000 generations. If you go by that principle, sir, it means just because you existed, the next 1,000 seed that will come from you will never go broke. They will never go down. Their life is settled forever. Abakanabaya, you are the blessed man. I say you are the blessed man. Hey! I'm the blessed man. Can we say that again? So the Lord is bringing me into the best shape of my life. Thus far, he's bringing into my hands seed, even some great, big, whooper chunk seeds. So I receive them and I sow them where he shows and directs, and I see great harvest. Let's take another confession. Say with me, say, I lend to nations, I borrow from none. For the Lord my God has given me the power to make wealth. So I'm blessed. 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 Yeah! It's only a foolish Christian that does money ritual. Did you hear what I said? Very foolish. Even if you consider money, a very foolish person. If you know what is working for you, know that rich or no rich. This one, they collect your finger, collect your organs, collect your mother, collect your father. This one is just say amen. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? Just be saying amen. Wake up every morning and say, the Lord is bringing me. Is that one hard? Shout him out, somebody. Nobody is coming for your children. Nobody is saying, give me your father, give me your mother. Everybody, just be talking. Be declaring. He says, sir, but this one doesn't work fast. It's the same principle. Even that ritual they do, they just put faith in that thing. Just that somehow they tend to believe it the more because they do physical things they can see. But they never envy the wicked. Watch for their end. They don't end well. I'm telling you, check almost all the Yahoo boys, you know, they don't end well. You see them this week that blowing millions. You see them next week that saying, Baba, I feel good. Thank you for your hand. Bye for well. Watch their lives. For the path of the just, it has a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Shout them out, somebody. Oh, my life is getting better. I may not have moved to my tens of millions now, but I'm growing. Oh, one thing you cannot say about me that I'm stagnant. One day my spiritual father said to us, that was last week, and he stuck to me. He said, the law of the future is that we will meet again. Wow. When people leave you, the law of the future is that we will definitely meet again. Just make sure that nobody meets you at the same spot they left you. So we parted ways because we want to go and do your Yahoo and do your hookup, and I want to stay clean. We will meet again in the future. It might take 5 years, 10 years, but we're going to meet again. It's the law of the future. One day we'll meet again, but we'll meet on different pedestals. Oh, that is the blessing the Bible calls good success. If there is good success, there is bad success. This book of the Lord shall depart from your mouth, you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and you shall have good success. And this good success I have. That good success, Bible tells us about, it said, is the blessing of the Lord. He maketh rich. He has no sorrow. I say no sorrow, sir. No sorrow. We're not going to sacrifice our families at the altar of wealth. We'll have money, good families, good relationship with God. Do I have Erastus in the house this evening? Do you remember Erastus this evening? the city treasurer who Paul was sending on missions.
So imagine you're in your village and the CBN governor
comes to your village for missions. You yourself will believe the gospel. God will give you the means. Oh, I say he will give you the means. He will increase you better and better. If you're still here, give a loud amen, somebody. God bless you. Be seated. Be seated.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.